We didn't see him studying under the greatest teachers. Where did he get his wisdom? And this mighty work. And is this not the carpenter's son? You know, we know this carpenter. You know, this poor guy, carpenter during those days, is a poor profession. And is his not mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Jose, Simon, and Judas, and sisters? Are they not all with us? When did this man get all these things? You know what? John chapter 1 verse 11 says, going along with that, John 1:11, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Wow. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know why? People look to the outward. Jesus was not popular. They were poor. They didn't have enough money. But if you have a lot of money, and if you do a good job, and if you're wealthy, popular, people will look up to you. And people did. Because he came to his own. His own did not receive him. Jews were looking for a person who will come as a kingly Messiah who will deliver them from Rome. They didn't see the suffering part of it. The suffering Messiah who will come. Jesus began his ministry when he was how many years old? 30 years old, he began his ministry. And he had a mission. And his mission is what? To do the Father's work. And if you see the baptism of Jesus here, you see such humility again. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, we see the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John, had the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. John was 6 months older to Jesus. You know that if you read the story. And he's older. And here we see the humility. He is the Messiah. And John knows it when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and the Father said, this is my beloved Son. But Jesus is coming to John. Remember, from Nazareth to go to Jordan River, Judea, that's a long way, that's a 3 days journey. Jesus, he is the master. He is the eternal Son of God. He should have told John, John, you come here. I don't have to come to you. I don't have to go all these 3 days journey to come to you all the way. I am the master and you are the servant. Where do you see a master going to the servant? Here it is. Humility. Talk about it. Humility. Master going to the servant. He does not ask, send John to become, but he goes to John. Remember how Mary went and visited Elizabeth? And when she went and visited Elizabeth, verse 40 says, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Of course, Elizabeth was pregnant with John here. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And here we see that then he says that, but why is it this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why is it that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Isn't that the same parallel what we see here? How Jesus going to John the Baptist, and even at the very beginning when he was pregnant, still the mother of the Lord going to the Elizabeth. Wow. What humility. And John the Baptist, even in his pregnancy, even in the baby's mother's womb, he was leaped in joy. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. And here, John refused to baptize him. Why? Because John realized he's the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. I am the sinner. And John realizes that he sees his own unworthiness in the presence of Jesus, because he is the pitiful, sinful creature. You are the Son of God. I need to be baptized by you. But because why? Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. But yet he tells John that he needs to be baptized. Jesus says, suffer it be now. Christ accepted John's humility, but not his refusal. Christ insisted that John does it immediately. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Christ was born under the law. Matthew 5:17 says he did not come to break the law, but to fulfill the law. Came to fulfill all the law, the moral law and the ceremonial law. All was fulfilled by Christ Jesus. Now, what about us? Huh? When I was thinking about this, what about us? Did you go to Christ? No, Christ came to us. In the same manner, Christ came to us. Just imagine that. Isn't that a humility? That we don't go to Christ and say, I came to Christ. That's a totally false assumption. Christ came to us. We were the ones who were going on an opposite direction. We were the ones who were lost in darkness, doing our own thing. Against the will of God, we were doing our own thing. But God, in His grace and His mercy, He came to us. Wow. Why? To give righteousness. What king would dethrone himself to a dead dog like you and me? Huh? What king would dethrone himself for a dead dog like you and me? You and I are fit to go to hell. But Christ, He came to see and to save us. Can see His humiliation. This is amazing. There's no other religious leader who was born, ever born like this. No other. Buddha was born in a mansion, but not Christ. Philippians chapter 2 verse 68. A former God, He became a man, became obedient, and even to death, Christ. Now, even to death, even to the cross. Now, literally, you know that Christ was literally poor. I'm talking now. Christ was not spiritually poor. He was literally poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though He was rich, talking about His heavenly position, yet for your sakes He became poor. You see that? Same concept as Philippians, isn't it? That you, through His poverty, might become rich. Wow. He is the owner of heaven and earth. He is rich. He is perfected in His nature. He is rich in His nature. He's a God Almighty who holds the universe. Yet He became poor for our sake. You know, He didn't even have a home to live in. Matthew chapter 8 verse 30. Matthew 8:20. When somebody, verse 19, a certain scribe came and said to Him, "Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go." And Jesus said to him, verse 20, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." What is He saying? Even the creatures of the earth are richer than Him. Even the creatures of the earth, they have a home to live, but Christ doesn't. Wow! Look at Psalm 24:1. Just the opposite of this. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Wow! The earth is of the Lord. He is the Creator. And this earth, the whole earth belongs to Him. But when Christ came, He didn't even have a home to lay His head. Wow! You talk about humility. Talk about humility. I'll tell you, that is amazing. That's unbelievable. We have no words to express. Amen. You know, Jesus, then how did He live? How did He survive? He lived upon the contributions of the others. He didn't even have money. Luke chapter 8 verse 2. "Who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, and of whom had 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for Him from their substance." And here we see certain women, they are providing from their substance. You know, when somebody came to Jesus to get some temple tax, where he has to pay temple tax, Jesus didn't even have money to pay the temple tax. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." When he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "Say, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take a fish that comes up first. When you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." Wow, amazing. He didn't even have money in his pocket. Now, what do you hear about Jesus today in the church? Huh? You hear just the opposite, isn't it? Right? He's the king. You come and give everything to you. He's the king and he has all the money. And you will be blessed if you give to the church. And you will see Jesus is a king, so we need to be like kings. He lived like a king, and we need to be like a king. We need to have the best car, the best house, the best of everything. What do you see in the scriptures? You're hearing different what the churches have taught and what the world is saying, what the scriptures are saying. I'll tell you, false teachers will come and try to get your money using the word of God, because Satan knows the word of God. Of course, the Bible says that we need to give offering to the church for the ministry, but it doesn't try to squeeze your pocketbook. And it doesn't say that if you don't give, a curse will fall upon you. There is no manipulation trying to force you. And here we see the opposite. Jesus, of course he was a king, but he was poor, poverty. He even didn't have a place to lay his head. You know what? You know that Jesus, when he died, he didn't even have a tomb on his own. Yeah. Matthew chapter 27 verse 58. Matthew 27. "And when evening had come, there came a rich man from
Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had thrown out of the rock, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Jesus didn't have in his own. He didn't have his own tomb. It was a rich man's grave that he was buried. Now, let us see the humility of Jesus in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53. Some of the things what I taught will I will remind you again. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. 800 years before Jesus was born, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He is not going to be grown as up a cedar tree, but as a tender little plant. It means it's not going to be noticeable. Do you see a little tender plant with all the bushes and the trees and so forth like that? But tender plant is not noticeable, right? Because he's still alive, little. So Jesus, when he was even born, was not noticeable. Why? Because he was low. He was living in humility. Then it says here, and as a root of a dry ground. You know what is a dry ground? It's not a wealthy ground. It's a dry ground where he came. Nazareth, what good thing come out of Nazareth? What good thing come out of Mary? She's dry ground, poor virgin, poverty, carpenter's family. That's dry ground. Then he says here, he has no form of comeliness. You know what is comeliness? Comeliness means handsome. Look in the dictionary, you will see the word comeliness means handsome. It means good looking. He had no form of comeliness. He was not handsome. He was not good looking. See the next verse. He says, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was not the beautiful blossom plant that came up suddenly. He was not good looking. He didn't come looking like a prince. There was no beauty. He did not come like a film star. He did not come like the movie Jesus, the guy in the movie Jesus. Good looking guy. No, the Bible, the scriptures is different what the movie is saying. That's what the scriptures say. He did not come like the beautiful painting of Jesus, blue eyed, blonde haired, European good looking guy. No, there's no beauty. He was not handsome. That's how God wanted to be that way. I'll tell you, that's why I'm even against the movie. Because a lot of people, they look at the movie, they look at Jesus and say, wow, this is me. But I'll tell you, the Bible says faith comes not by seeing, but by hearing the word of God. That's how you get saved. In the movie, it's faith is a feeling that you see somebody's picture and see, this is Jesus. That's not Jesus. God told in the Old Testament, in the commandments, Ten Commandments, don't make any image of himself, not even a movie. Of an image, that people will have a desire, adoration for that picture. And people, how many times they put the picture of Jesus? That's not the picture of Jesus. That's what the world has told us. That's what the tradition has told us. We should go what the scriptures say. This is the scripture. This is what the word of God says. We need to worship God in spirit and truth, not looking at a picture, not picturing him. Because I'll tell you, God, you know, if a handsome guy came, God made Jesus very handsome, very good looking, I mean, with all the money and so forth like that, then all the Pharisees and everybody would follow him. A lot of people would follow him. But God didn't do that way. God's ways are different. Jesus lived among the poor. He lived among the poor. And where was his companions? The tax collectors, the harlots, the thieves. That's where God wanted him to go. God wanted him to go to the people, you know, people who are totally poor, totally who are lost. That's where God wanted him to go. Wow, this is amazing. He was rejected. Then it says here, he was despised and rejected by men. Of course he would be rejected. He's not good looking, reject. He's not rich, reject. He's not wealthy, reject. Right? That's all. He's not popular, reject. The Bible says that he was rejected. Listen, Isaiah says in the first scripture, who has believed our report? Isn't that true? Because his company was not the wealthy, the popular, the rich and the famous. His company were poor fishermen. Women were totally, women had no class during that time. Jesus is the one who liberated the women. They were despised. He was rejected by the majority. He was a man of sorrows. Wow. Let me ask you. This is true Jesus, and some of us, some saw the beautiful glory of Jesus, although he was not good looking. If you turn with me to John chapter 1 verse 14, open their minds. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, the full of grace and truth. I'll tell you, only to some you can see his glory. We beheld his glory. Do you desire to follow this Jesus, Jesus of the Bible? The woman who washed his feet and with tears, you remember that story, she washed his feet and anointed with expensive oil because she beheld his glory. If you turn with me to Psalm 84, Psalm chapter 84. Lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. It doesn't say how lovely is Las Vegas. It doesn't say how lovely are the shopping malls. My soul longs, yes, faints. Oh, my soul longs for Las Vegas, for the shopping malls. My heart and my flesh crying out for these worldly things. It doesn't say that. But he does say, how lovely is your tabernacle. Jesus is the true tabernacle. How lovely is he. My soul longs for him. It faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh is crying out for the living God. He is the living God who came down from heaven. Is your soul crying out for him? Are you longing for him? Is your flesh crying for him, for the living God? Or are you crying for material things? Are you longing for material things? Where is it? Where is your heart? I'll tell you, even David said, verse 10, for a day in your court is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Wow. Amazing. See the picture of Jesus. See his humility. When you see his humility, you will be brought to zero. You will be brought to zero. And this is where we should yearn for him. Our soul should cry for him. Because what God has done, this is the way he provided salvation. He provided salvation first in humility for us. That in our humility, when our pride is the one that, you know, is a hindrance for salvation. A lot of people because of pride, right? So that pride should be taken off. Pride, once the pride is taken off, when we see who our Messiah is, then I'll tell you, you will cry out for him. You will yearn for him. You will ask more, I want him. And you will want to know more of him. Not what the world has been teaching or the tradition has been teaching. Let's pray. We are going to have communion today.